Welcome to God's Laws for Business. In this session, we are examining the first half of the law of customer development. Let's hear a story about Gilbert, his desperation to find some medicine to help his wife. Going down every aisle in the corner store, Gilbert could not find the aspirin. His wife was at home feeling horrible, and all that he wanted was to find some medicine to help her feel better. Thankfully, he heard someone laughing. He navigated through a mess of display racks and shelves to get to the register as fast as he could. Standing in front of the store's only employee, he waited. It was just Gilbert and the woman behind the cash register, no one else. She looked sideways at him over the edge of her cell phone and kept talking, trying to ignore Gilbert. After a short time, it was apparent that the store clerk was chatting to her sister about trivial things, nothing at all of importance. After 3 minutes of the clerk avoiding eye contact or any form of acknowledging Gilbert's presence, Gilbert cleared his throat and leaned forward. She just put her phone down a couple of centimeters and asked, "What do you want?" Gilbert asked, "I need some aspirin. I've looked all over and cannot find it." Cutting him off rudely, she replied, "It's over there, somewhere. Go look again." This clerk, along with others at that exact shop, hadn't been rude to him before. But today, this made Gilbert so angry that he determined to never, ever, ever shop there again. He would walk further to the other store down the street or figure something else out, but never again would he give them his money. Gilbert started to realize that with each item he bought and each dollar he spent, he was voting. He was either voting to support shops that were not rude to customers or those that were rude to customers. Voting to elect a shop that treated him as king is what he wanted. Your customers will vote with their feet and their money too. Realize that you too will always have competition, and these competitors will be happy to take the vote of the customer and their support, their money, as they make each purchase. Are you giving customers a product or service worth voting for? Ask yourself. Be honest. Let's talk about three critical points in the law of customer development. The first point is recognizing that there's two types of customers. And point number two is establishing the price on your product or service. And then, of course, number three is finding your specific customers. In all markets of the world, there are clearly two types of customers, and you need to understand who is the customer that you want to reach. Those two customer types are those that are price-focused and those that are value and quality-focused. Now, the price-focused person you all know about, and that's probably even you. You may even be shopping always for the lowest price. Doesn't matter about the quality. With the type of customer that's always looking for the lowest price, there is very little loyalty between the customer and the supplier. And you are now wanting loyal customers. You see, a loyal customer will come back again and again, as long as your price is fair, and as long as you're giving them what they expect. But when you have a customer that's always buying the lowest price, they're going to jump to the next supplier that beats your price. And it's hard to create a long-lasting customer and really develop a relationship with your customer if they don't come back again. They bought what they want, and you never see them again. Or you see them again as long as you are continually the lowest price. As soon as someone else is a little bit cheaper, then there goes your customer. This is hard to develop a customer with that type of customer coming to your store. Well, let's talk about the value and quality-minded customer. They appreciate quality. They recognize it, and they are willing to pay a fair but superior price to a superior product. This is going to take some effort on your part to develop the repeat customer that will come to you when they have a need for that same product or service. It's better for the health of your company to have a long-term relationship with your customer. And this relationship will stay as long as you meet their needs and you price your product correctly. They understand the value of your product. It's very important that you become an educator to the people, not just sitting there at the counter and taking orders. That's what we call an order taker. In communities where most people are price focused, customers will need to be educated in the long-term benefits of a higher valued product. That's part of the job. You're not just taking orders. But again, we're looking for the customers that you want for a long-term business. Now, point number two, establishing your price. You should know your competitor's pricing as a reference, but don't establish your price solely off of their price. They could be losing money. You don't know anything about their business. You can only see their price. You can look at their quality and see their price. And they may be losing money on every sale. That's many times why businesses start and they go out of business in 6 months or a year. They didn't realize that they started capital, they borrowed some money, and then they started selling. Oh, business is going well. I'm selling. But every time they sell something, they're losing money. You can't join that group. God wants you to do better than that. You need to be a specialist in your product and service. The more you know, the more you can transfer to your customers. So take time, study, know the facts, dig deep, reveal things that other people don't know, search, ask questions. The more value that you give to your customers, the more you can ask for your price and they will accept it. They will understand. And remember, you must make a profit for your business in order for it to survive. We'll study more about this in a future lesson, one of the laws called God's laws of record keeping. But you must know the total costs of what all the ingredients are to make your product and service in a position to sell it. You can't forget the overhead. You can't forget all of the extra things that don't look like they're a part of the selling price and a part of the expenses. And don't forget to pay yourself. Many people think they're making lots of money, but they are not even able to pay themselves out of their own business. This is so critical. Bottom line, if the main focus is trying to be the lowest priced supplier, you will sacrifice quality and lose potential customers in the long range. You're not going to develop a customer base by only being the lowest price. Now let's talk about point number three, finding your customers, the specific customers that can buy from you. Well, first of all, you might have to look at your location. Are you located in the very best location to find this customer? There's a lot of options in the physical location where you have a shop or a location or a place on the street. But now we have other locations like the internet, like Facebook and social media. So your location is very important to you. And finding that location and finding the customers that shop at that location is critical. You could have the very best product, the very best price, but the customer doesn't know about you. They must find you. Ask yourself, the customer that you want, where do they purchase their items? Where are they traveling? Where are they going? Are they shopping at stores on a main street or on highway? What kind of things are they looking for? And what are they needing? Then seek out your customers. They won't be able to buy from you unless they can find you. And when they find you, then make sure you take care of them. Well, let's review those three critical points. Attract the right type of customer. Establish the right price for your product or service, and find specifically the customers that you can sell to. Well, let's hear a story about my good friend Octavian and how he found his customer while he was out on a hike. When Octavian was a boy, he was hiking in the mountains close to his hometown in Tanzania when he crossed the paths with a couple of lost tourists. They asked if he could help them find their way on the hike, and so Octavian assisted them on their journey. He led them up to their intended destination and then back down, and at that point they paid him for his help. Unknowingly, the many times that he had hiked in the past in that area had been his research. It followed the law of testing and research. He didn't realize it, but he was preparing him to be a knowledgeable trail guide. And then it clicked. If these tourists needed help on their hike, perhaps there were others. Where would he find a high number of other potential customers? This led him to the main hotel and the bus stop, and it worked. There he met many tourists that were excited to hike in the area. He completed successful hike after hike for the tourists staying at the hotel. Did the hotel run him off? No. They saw it as a benefit for their guests and welcomed him in as a trail guide, even giving him a free Coke every once in a while and a pat on the back and a thank you. Not only were the tourists receiving a benefit from Octavian's services, but now the hotel was recognizing it as well. He started with what he had, did some research, and he got into action. He learned quickly how to take care of his customer. The lessons learned were serve your customers well, then find a way to get your product or service into an area of high concentration of that particular customer. That's how it works. That's how your business can work. Let's read from the Word of God on this subject. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 7 and 8 says this, "Serve wholeheartedly as if you were serving the Lord, not people, because you know that the Lord will reward each one for whatever good they do, whether they are slave or free." This could apply to each one of us. Let's learn some key points about serving your customers. Well, first of all, your mindset is key. You must think, serve, don't sell. Words of Nelson Boswell, a famous author, and he said, "Here is a simple but powerful rule. Always give people more than what they expect to get, and the rest will take care of itself." That's so powerful. Another suggestion is that you learn the names of your customers. This is not hard to do if you work at it. It's the one sound that everyone loves to hear, their name, when you call them by name. Don't say, "Hey, you," or "Bud," or "Sis." Yeah, learn their name, learn their first name. Also, one of the most valuable things in the world you can give to someone is your attention. Be sure to engage with your customer. Let them know that they are important and special. Another point would be to do what's right for the customer. There's times that you can't meet the needs of your customers. And if you can't meet their need, be honest and refer them to someone that can do this. This will pay great benefits in the long range. This builds trust, and people will only buy from you on a repeat basis if they learn to trust you. And when you help them, no matter if there's a sale, it really does show trust. Also, develop a deep understanding of your product and service so that you can answer their questions. You are like a library. You're the one that should know about the details of your customer. Always study up on that. This is why experimenting to know your product comes before you make a sale. You need to have experience before you make the sale. This can take time. This can take work. You should be forming in your mind, who is your ideal customer? You should know the ideal age bracket that you're wanting as a customer. And ask yourself, where do they live? And where do they go to church? Or where do they go to school? Where do they shop? And what day of the week do they shop on? Do they have kids? This will tell you your ideal customer. Make sure that you're focusing on the individual that actually makes the purchase decisions. Sometimes you don't know without looking deeper. For an example, if you are selling to a family, who in that family actually decides whether or not the purchase will be made? Always be asking, how can I serve my customer better? If you went to a business similar to the one you own, what are ways that you would like to be served and how you would like to be appreciated? And how you could be cared for in a better way. What is a low-cost experiment that you can conduct between now and the next time you get together or the next lesson? Take time to repeat this group discussion. Or if you're an individual, just say it to yourself. My ultimate boss is God. I am made in His image. I have the ability to create excellent things with my mind, and I can work hard with my hands. God has given me unique skills and talents so that I can provide for myself and for others. I am loved by God, special in His sight, and I will not waste the gifts that He has given me. Thank you for joining us for this part one of the Law of Customer Development. Please join us again next time for part number two. Thank you very much.